Blog Talk Radio.
Presence here tonight. How about you? The Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We allow Him to be in the center of our lives and our hearts tonight, surrendering everything to Him in this time of worship. I know the Lord's going to speak to us. The Lord's going to continue to lift us up together. He's letting us know He's on our side. Amen. He's working to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's His work that's going on in us. Hallelujah. He that hath begun a good work in you, He's the one that started it. He said He will complete it. Amen. I'm thankful for that. How about you? Amen. I'm trusting and having confidence in His Word tonight. Praise the Lord. So good to see everyone here on Wednesday night. Time of worship in the Word. Of course, tonight's a special, special time for us with Missionary McFarland to the country of Israel, the nation of Israel, and right in the middle of the center of the earth there in Jerusalem, and God's earthly chosen people. And it's just a blessing and privilege to have them with us tonight to hear good things that I know they will share with us. And we're looking forward to this special, special time together. And if somebody was not able to be here, this, of course, will be recorded and can be shared with those that were not able to be here tonight. Amen. It's good to see Sister Starla back and out for a couple of weeks. So glad she's in the house of the Lord and back home safe. Long journey. She was up in Alaska, long, long way away. Amen. Why don't we stand together again? We're going to let our kids be dismissed to their special time with Brother Todd Fannin and the Kids Club on Wednesday night. Walk and don't run. Remember, guys, let's be respectful of God's house. Good job. Great. Talia, you're doing a good job walking. I like that. Excellent. Praise the Lord. They get so excited. Amen. If we could just bottle that up and have a drink every once in a while, we'd be all right, I think. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother McFarland, we're so glad you're here tonight, and we appreciate them coming and taking time out to be with us here in Franklin. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. He's going to be sharing all the good things that are going on, amen, as we mentioned already, and some special project that they have going. So let's just lift our hands together right now. Let's just pray that the Lord will just bless us tonight. Lord, we want to do more, Lord, than just hear interesting stories or, Lord, whatever you've laid on Brother McFarland's heart from your word, Lord. But, God, we want you to speak to us, Lord, as you always do. God, you amaze us, Lord, with the way you can talk to us and the way you minister to us, Lord, the way you reach to us, Lord. And let us hear your call again, Lord. Hear your voice speak tonight. We pray that you do this in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Brother McFarland.
You may be seated. I do want to say that it's our privilege to be here, and we've looked forward to this. And before we get too deep, let me get a quick commercial in here. We have a table set up there in the back. I have personally written two books that we've published. This first one is The History of the Origin of the Trinity. This is a document that is from about 30 years of research that records the first ever recorded Trinitarian worship was the Sumerian civilization in 3000 B.C. And it's been passed on down through all these years and still around today in some places. We also discovered there's a vertical Trinity. There's a horizontal Trinity, there's an Eastern Trinity, and a Western Trinity. And by looking at the cross, you should be able to tell which Trinity they are. It's all in the book. So we don't normally use it as a evangelistic tool, like a tract, but it is basically very expository, and it's very objective. This is what the history shows. We have 45 books for a library that we have purchased, have in my possession, which all of that proves this. So this is available in the back. In addition to that, we've written The Word Was Made Flesh. This is a kind of a modern approach to understanding the spiritual aspect of living for God. The original creation was completely triggered by spoken word. And then when you were born of Adam, you actually inherit his death genome in your DNA. You're born dying. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and again, back to the original creation precedent, speak with tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, you replace the Adam death genome with a God life genome in your DNA. You get a new DNA when you get the Holy Ghost. So these are both available back there. Various other things are available. And so after service, we'll have that open. And if you can't get to Jerusalem for the shopping mall, well, we'll bring the mall right to your door here. All right. Sister McFarland's going to sing in the language of Jesus. So let's worship the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Is this on? Okay, now I can hear it. English and Hebrew. This song was written by an Israeli lady baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Into His gates we come singing. Into His gates we come singing. Into His gates we come singing. All our praise. Bowing the knee before You. Bowing the knee before You. Bowing. Lovely area to live, but not as lovely as Jerusalem. I'm a little bit partial and prejudiced. God has blessed us. He has helped us. We've been working there for approximately 16 years in a nation that doesn't allow missionaries. So when we first said we were going, we went as aimers, as associates in missions, and you know, it was like, it's impossible. People told us it's impossible. We knew it was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And He had called us, so we didn't doubt, we didn't look back. We just were caught up with zeal. And to this day, we love the nation of Israel and Palestine. It is not an easy place to work for the Lord. It is very, very difficult. But the One who first poured out His Spirit in that very city of Jerusalem still is seeking to save those that are lost. Hallelujah. And He wants to do it. And He knows all about all the trouble and all the terrorism and all the suicide bombers and you know, most of you don't live with that kind of thing. I remember when 9/11 happened, we were there in Jerusalem, and it was horrible to be there during that time and not knowing if we'd ever get back to America. You know, you remember they grounded all the planes, and our son lives in New York City, and I kept thinking, Lord, please don't let this be a day he went up to the World Trade Center, because you can go up there any time, you know, but it wasn't. But there was a man in their church on the 84th floor, and when in the second building that was hit, he had felt the concussion of the first building being hit, and they told him, relax, don't go anywhere, just calm down. But God spoke to him, I believe, because he decided it's time to go. And he decided to take the stairs and not take an elevator, and it took him quite a while, but he was saved in that building because he did leave, because the Lord impressed him to leave. Because God sees us and he knows exactly where we are. But I remember during that time my mother saying to me, when we did arrive home for the general conference in October, which was just, you know, flying over, we flew into Newark and saw that hole in the smoke rising, and it was our daughter literally sobbed and sobbed when we landed in the States. She was just like, oh, thank God we're back in America, you know. But, and I said I would kiss the ground. I actually didn't kiss the ground, but I wanted to. But, you know, you get out inside, and I wasn't going to kiss that dirty floor. I'd rather kiss dirt than that dirty floor in the airport. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I remember my mother saying, you don't know how we felt every time a plane went over. And I'm thinking to myself, you know how scared everybody was. And I'm sure everybody, I know you were afraid. But we live with that all the time in Israel, in Jerusalem. It's not necessarily a plane. It's a person, the person next to you. Everywhere we go through checkpoints. We go through the thing that checks for metal, you know, the metal detector thing. And then they wand you most of the time. If you go into a mall, you automatically take your purse around the little thing, you know. Here in America, they use them so you won't steal things in stores, you know, those kind of things that go off if you take something out with the ticket on it. But there, it's for the metal. You put your purse around, the guy goes through your purse, dirty hands and all, and then you go on in to shop or any place you go. If we go in the parking garages, our trunk is lifted and checked. It's just a different way of life. But God has found people during all that situation. It's really good right now. So if you want to go to Israel, I've always encouraged people to go because we serve a great God. And nobody's going to touch you if he has his hand upon you. And if his protection is with us. And we believe that. We're testimonies to that. He has protected us every step of the way. We've started to go down streets and suddenly something happened. One time, a big heavy equipment operator pulled his machine right out in front of us. We were all aggravated, but we decided, my husband loves coffee, so we just decided to go get a coffee. I don't like coffee. I would always have Diet Coke. It's called, actually, Diet Coke in Israel. If you've been to Europe, it's Coca-Cola Light. But anyway, Diet Coke in Israel, and there we are here, and then we heard the explosion. It was right down the street we were going to drive down. You see, he does know what he's doing, but he also sees in people's hearts. He knows the ones that are hungry. That's why we went there. We don't sensationalize the terrorism and the things that happen, but we want you to understand we need your prayers. We need them desperately. We need your prayers for protection. Our church needs your prayers for protection. We need your prayers also that God would help us to find those people that are hungry. Now, in the Orthodox Jewish community, there are people who are hungry to know about the Lord. They aren't always real open about it, but we can go one-on-one, just like they did in the early church, and talk to people about the Lord, and many have been baptized in the name of Jesus, and many have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times they don't even attend church on a regular basis, but they look to us for spiritual guidance. We don't believe the Lord's church is just inside where you gather, because if that were true, it's not very many people. Look at all these empty seats tonight. Is this the whole church? Probably not. The whole church is those that are bought by his blood and called by his name and taken his name in baptism and filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, it goes everywhere. It goes beyond when there's been times we couldn't get into the West Bank, which is the area called Palestine. We couldn't even drive over there. Now there's a big wall. You have to go. We've always gone through military checkpoints ever since we've been working there. But we used to just be able to, you know, show our American passport and go through. Now there's a wall, and you have to go in and out of that, and it's very different than it used to be. And there were times that was closed off and nobody could get in or out. In fact, all the internationals for a period of time had to leave Bethlehem. We lived in Bethlehem at one time. Everybody had to leave Bethlehem, and or you couldn't ever get out. You were stuck in there, and they couldn't protect you. And I know you've probably heard the story of when they took over the church and nativity in Bethlehem, and tanks were everywhere, and a lady called us. Her husband is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had to leave the country for his protection. He was in Cyprus, and she called. Her name is Suhad, and she said, I had 35 tanks I just counted went by my house, and I wanted so much to just jump in a vehicle and go get her or have her drive to us and put her in our house where I felt like she would be safe. I couldn't get to her. There was no way. She couldn't get to us. It was closed off. And there was war going on. It was a terrorism war, but it was war. And she said, they're coming into homes and taking the young men of a certain age and taking them for questioning. And they beat them many times, most of the time, and they keep them for weeks. And she said, I cannot stand. She had two sons there with her. Another son was in Cyprus with his father, but one son was in high school. The other one was married and had a little baby girl. But he was the right age, 25, 26 and under, you know.
Well, I don't know what happened, but this would be a good time for us to just share some time together. And we'll just get some thoughts about what's on your mind. Block Talk Mom, you're on.
Well, I don't know what happened either. It was just doing fine. I was enjoying the music and the testimony, and I'm sorry that we missed it. Maybe next week we can finish up with the sermon, because I know it was going to really be great. Now, this was at your church, Starla? This was...
Yes, it was a missionary. And it was a great service.
And his
anyway,
missionary,
I'm sorry you all didn't get to hear the rest of it.
He is from Israel? That was...
Yes. Yes, he and his wife were there from Israel, and it was really incredible.
The books that he mentioned sounded fascinating. I want to be sure and order those books.
Well, we got a couple to pass around, so maybe we'll send one your way. But
that's great. The history, he said, of how the Trinity was first a part of Christianity as far as doctrine. That's fascinating.
Yes, I think it said 600 BC is when it started, or I don't know. Anyway, it seemed really interesting. He's had a really fascinating life, and he's written several books. So we're really excited about learning more about what he's learned about.
Just the few things that she said made me, for the first time, I guess, in my life, consider going on a trip to Israel. Several churches offer yearly or an annual. Everybody gets together and goes together on a trip, and I have just never considered it, but she made it sound like that was the thing I needed to try.
My sister's church said that they're going to get together a trip to Israel, and I think Brother Hook said that. I'm not sure. Sister McElhaney's dad. But that
Brother
sounds
good
place to go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said that just sounds like a really interesting place to be.
Especially to somebody that's been to Alaska.
That was a really good trip. Oh, yes, and David Jeremiah is going to Israel in December, I believe. Anyway, it was a really, really interesting trip. We had a lot of church and a lot of interesting speakers, Ian Oakley, Charles Billingsley, and I don't know if you've heard of him, Christian comedian Ken Davis was there, and he was sharing a lot about his family. It was really interesting. And we got to see some whales and seals and otters.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm just not a traveling. Of course, when I went to the Arctic, I guess it's quite a ways. There were no trees, solid ice, and I think we had 5 different flights. But it seemed like I was the purpose was there, but just for entertainment, it somehow doesn't motivate me that much. But I hear stories. In fact, one couple told me that going to Alaska and they had traveled everywhere, but they said that was the most beautiful and the most enjoyable trip that they had ever been on.
They have a train ride from Denali, the mountain up there. It's a 9-hour train ride with a glass canopy, and you can see all kinds of wildlife and wilderness, and that's what I would like to do if I ever went back.
That's wonderful. Well, I guess everyone knows that if they press 1, that they can join in on this conversation, and we would love to hear from everyone. I'd love to hear from Joy Bells if she's out there. She's been working so hard, and I haven't heard from her in a few days.
Yeah, she doesn't look like she's on tonight.
She's conquering algebra. And that is an accomplishment.
Yes, really. I can relate. I did not do so well in college algebra.
There was the school I attended had the classes on, you could go in the library and you could watch them and then you could stop them and play them back and start it over again, and that was the only thing that brought me through. But it did. And I couldn't tell you right now at 71 anything I learned, but I made an A for that class. Did you say when you were on your trip that there were church services?
That's what we went. It was David Jeremiah, and he had, I guess, about 300 or 400 on the boat that were with him, you know, with his group. And, you know, we got to hear him speak, and there were a couple other speakers, but it was really interesting.
He is
not the kind of church that, you know, you and I are used to, but it was interesting.
Oh, I have several sessions that he's taught. He's one of the most fascinating teachers I've ever heard. The series that I think in 2005, whenever one was stirred about the end time, and his series was just full of facts, and there was historical facts and prophecy. It was absolutely excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed it. He's a dynamic person. So that was good that you had that kind of fellowship.
Oh, yes, yes, that was. That just, at dinner time, they all set, I guess they did the little research to set the people at the table. There was 8 at our table, and we were all without our husbands, either, you know, through death or, you know, divorce. Or we just didn't have them with us. So, you know, that was a common factor with the 8 of us. And there was 2 other sisters. I was on the boat with my sister. And there was a couple women from Canada. And it was just really interesting to get to know, you know, other Christian people. And
I agree. That's excellent. Don't get too quiet. I'll be afraid I'll lose it, too.
Well, have you had a good week this week?
Well, I'm in the process of moving and packing everything up. I didn't ever think at 71 I would be in this transition, but I am. And it's been a very spiritual for me. I think all this week, I have, in my devotion time, my personal devotion, I've been reading and studying the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus spoke of the parables that he gave, and he talked about the kingdom of heaven, I realized that we as humans are so attached to everything in this world. We just are. And when the Lord spoke, And he said that, he told him, he said, I was in prison and you visited me and I was hungry and you fed me. And they were bewildered. You know, they said, well, when did we see you hungry or in prison? And he said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And studying that as for the rest of my devotion, we as Christians understand that 10% or the tithe belongs to God. It belongs to Him. If we take that, the Bible plainly says, if we take His 10%, then we rob God, which is, I mean, hard to fathom that someone would actually rob God. But there's, you know, that's two sides of the coin. It's also God's plan to pour out blessing upon His people. But the other, about the homeless and the people that are the widow, those that are in need, God has designated that part of what we have belongs to them. He said, there's 60 scriptures that talk about the fatherless. It talks about those, the widows, those that have no one. And God is going to hold the Christian community accountable. And I know that people think, well, you know, there's welfare and there's so many other things that and ways that people can get help. And I understand that and I think that's awesome. But that's not the same as a Christian allowing part of what they own and their time, especially their time, to be used for those that are that absolutely must have that kind of involvement if they're going to be one to the Lord. And I know that I have found in just studying and in practicality that when I'm lonely, when I'm battling something, if I will go and stop by the nursing home that's up here just a few miles from the home, out my home, and go in and just walk down through there and just pray for some, sing, I hate to sing to them since they're a captive audience, but, you know, just fellowship with them and spend time, I'm so refreshed. I mean, it's not that, oh, boy, I can walk out of here. It's, oh, boy, I'm doing God's will. I'm being His hands. I'm being a vessel or a channel that the love of God and the benevolence of God and the tenderness and kindness of God can flow through. And if we don't plan to do that, we won't do that. We won't have time. We won't have money. We will, you know, we will just use up all of the resources that we have without actually being involved in those that need us, that God has sent us to. And that's helped me a lot this week. I want to, another part of the Sermon on the Mount was the man that, of course, there's two interpretations of this, but the obvious one of the pearl of great price, and this man went back and sold everything that he had. He sold everything that he could obtain the pearl of great price, and there is a selling out to our dreams and our desires, and that doesn't mean we don't have dreams and desires, but God is the ultimate. He's the focus. He's everything. And then, and we, when we, you know, I don't know, it just, I guess because I'm moving and all of these things are scattered around and the Lord is reminding me, this is not what it's all about. The stop at the nursing home, the visiting with the children that are less fortunate, that's what it's all about. And then this other, tonight I was a lady, a very, very godly lady. I haven't heard from her in a long time, and she said the Lord laid on her heart to tell me something. And she goes to attend another church here, and she thought, well, how will I do that? I haven't talked to her in so long. And all of a sudden she finds this piece of paper with my phone number on it, and she calls me tonight and tells me that God had a word for me. And that's so encouraging, that just right in the midst of everything, the pearl is right there. You know, God is right there to encourage us and uplift us and strengthen us and watch over and protect us. He's just, you just can't lose with the stuff we use. That don't sound right, but I love that. You can't lose with the Lord.
No, you can't.
It's a privilege. It's such a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then the rest of it was the five wise and the five foolish that were, some had let their oil run out and didn't really see any need to do that or to trim their lamps. And when I was packing up some of my stuff, I found this beautiful little lamp-like thing that I hadn't burned in, I don't know, years. And I tried to light it, and it smoked, and it just, you know, it was a mess. It would go out. And I thought, well, maybe if I trim this wick, and I took the scissors, and I cut all around it, and then it just was so beautiful. It just was so pretty when it flared up, and it was, there was no smoke. And I thought, well, Lord, that's what you're doing to me right now. I may be getting ready to go into eternity, but I do know that he's trimming. It's trimming. It is a feeling of being cut back or your things. It's just amazing. Go ahead. I'm talking a lot.
Oh, no. I just said pruned, being pruned.
It is. And I know if Richie and if Bill and Ron were, Joy were on the line, we had a pear orchard behind our house when we lived on the farm. And it was, when they got ready, they cut it back until it looked like there was nothing left. But when they did that, then that's when it began to bring forth pears. And, you know, cut all the dead limbs and just cut it back so that it could grow and be strong. And God has to do that with whatever method that needs to be done. He does that to us, but because he loves us and because he wants us to be focused on the right things and be used by him. And you're there, I know.
I'm sorry? You said that you were moving. Do you like where you're moving?
Well, it's different. I've lived here for 10 years, around 9, I guess, in this house. And the place where I'm moving to is right near much nearer the church, and it's been remodeled. It's much newer. My utilities would be much less. There's just a lot of advantages. It's just the process of moving, the stress level.
Yeah.
You know, when you move. It's just, there's just a lot to it. But God sent a family that has just done everything from, well, it's just wonderful. And somebody donated a pod. Actually, it was my pastor. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but it's like a big.
Oh, yes.
And so that's out there, and that's helped tremendously. And it's just, because I have the greatest, well, I know you think you have the greatest pastor, and we should all think that, but this church family is just unbelievable with how caring they are. And of course, at my age, there's really not a whole lot I could do to repay them in any way, but they are very thoughtful, very caring. You better talk.
Well, I wish, really wish Wild Bill were here, because he's better at the talking thing than I am. But
I've got a lot of things I can say. I just don't want to do all the talking. Where's Preston? Now, he could call. This would be a great time for him to call.
Well, I don't think he's with us tonight.
Well, how about Reverend Kaiser?
Reverend Kaiser doesn't seem to be with us tonight either.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do with these people. But I can share something else with you that I have really, it's meant a lot to me. In a course that I, not only did I get a license in belief therapy, but I've been able to share it with a lot of different people, people that are for anger management or addictions. Sometimes when you're born again and you're living for God, there are still things that trigger you. And in this lesson, one particular lesson, it used the acronym TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. And what it talks about is when we are triggered, now like this particular move triggered some feelings that I had that were very hurtful from a much, much earlier time in my life. And when you're triggered, R can stand for a reasoning error. We're all familiar with that, where we something makes us feel uncomfortable or lonely, and we may reason that someone is doing that on purpose or willfully excluding you. You know, it's a reasoning error. And when you have that error, you've triggered, you have a reasoning error, then you have an unhealthy response. You know, you mess with me, you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat type thing. And that's pretty extreme, but we go through life with those feelings that we get when we reason wrong. But then the next letter is T, and that's truth. And that's what the lady that called me reaffirmed tonight. The truth is, just like at Romans 8:28 says, that all things work together for our good, to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And there are books written, while going with the acronym, after you believe the truth of God's word, of his promises, which there are thousands, where he will keep us, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, then you have a healthy response, and the joy of the Lord is there, and then your strength returns. Your strength. During this time, when I first was becoming upset about the move, the Lord gave me so many beautiful scriptures. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And that's an inheritance. That is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And there are so many others that we can turn to when we are going through transition. And I thought of our soldiers, the families that have to be separated, and all that they go through, and how they need the Lord, and how we need to hold them up in prayer every day for their children, yeah, and for their families. And I have no idea what time it is, where I am.
Mom, we have a caller.
Wonderful.
2395. Caller, you're on. Hello?
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 This is Preston.
All right.
Oh, Preston. Well, you're calling from a different number.
Yeah, this is my dad's cell phone.
Oh, how are you tonight?
Okay. I'm at my Aunt Rita's house.
Oh, you are. Well, it's good to hear from you.
Thank you. So what is
all
about?
I'm sorry?
Where's Wild Bill tonight?
Wild Bill went to a service. He needed to go to another service. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's just that.
He'll be back. Oh. Preston, are you doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing better.
Okay. Still loving the Lord? Your Aunt Rita is one of my favorite people. I didn't get to know her a long time, but I certainly love and admire her very much.
Thank you.
Is your dad fine?
Yep.
Well, that's good. How old are you, Preston?
I'm 15.
Ooh, what a wonderful, wonderful. Now, if you turn 17 or 16, we may lose you for a while, because that's when you get your teenage. I don't know what happened to me, but it was about 30 before I was whatever. I don't know. That maturity sets in after you start out at 15 and you think, well, my parents don't know anything. And then when you get 30, you think, oh, they do. They knew it all. Have you moved already?
Huh?
Preston, have you already moved? You mentioned...
Oh, no.
Haven't
yet.
Moved. Well, I'll be praying for you because I'm in the midst of moving and it's a little bit stressful.
Yeah, you're telling me. I have lots of trouble sometimes.
You do?
Yep. Hard. Especially after living in that house the whole time.
Well, you've gone through, you've done beautifully to have gone through the loss of your mom, and you're a fine young man.
Thank you very much. We also had to go through losing my uncle a while ago.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, and plus, we have lots of stress on us because we have to be out of the house by, like, July. August 1st is when we have to move out of this house. So the house isn't ours anymore. So basically,
oh.
Stay.
Well, I'm going through the exact same thing. And I believe that it's, we're going to... There's a lot of people that teach us that to look forward and not look back because we can miss the good, wonderful things that's about to happen if we keep looking back. One time I was walking down the street looking back, talking to somebody, and I walked into a tree. And so I thought I made a mental note, you know, when you're walking, keep looking ahead. Keep our eyes on the Lord because He is there.
That's true.
And He needs 15-year-olds that have faith in Him and love Him.
I have faith in Him and I do love Him.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Like, lots of the people in our church, like our youth group, I'm not even all the way sure if they do have a prayer life. I mean, I'm not saying I'm, because no one's better. Everyone's the same. But, like, well, I guess what I'm saying is our youth group isn't doing good because, like, they do stuff that they shouldn't, say stuff that they shouldn't, and make fun of God's word, and I think they really need prayer.
Oh, youth groups do have, there's young people have so many different struggles that older people, usually, if they've been living for God, that they've worked through those struggles. But it's hard to know. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And we just keep our eyes on the Lord and trust that the seed that's planted in the hearts of these young people, that at some given time it will begin to take root and they'll consecrate their life. And but we don't want it to ever let it be a stumbling block. The Bible describes the enemy as the accuser. He's the accuser. And so he will come to us and point out things in people's lives and accuse them to us. He'll even accuse God if we'll listen. He'll accuse us. He'll tell us we're no good or we'll never make it. So the answer and the solution to that is the love of God. And we'll just love people and let God do the rest. And He will. He'll do it.
Then, like, I was scared that, like, my aunt kept on stressing to me the importance of, like, making it. And I sometimes take it the wrong way and think she's doing it. Like, you get hard on me, but sometimes I remember it's because she loves me. And she says it's not because trying to put pressure on me, but because she loves me. Last time I did something, I was scared, so I started getting right with God and started having a prayer life and I might have thought I might have even lost the Holy Ghost, but I gained it back again. I did.
That's wonderful. Do you study the Bible?
Yeah, God told me to pray for the youth and me. One night I did. And then the night I went to church, all of us got filled with the Holy Ghost, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful. The mighty revival. That's great. We're working in with our young people right now to start a journal where they just take any type of little notebook. And when they read a scripture, you start, there's several that in Psalms, New Testament, the book of James is a wonderful book to begin to study, 1st and 2nd Peter. Take those scriptures and just take one or two. You don't have to just try to learn the whole Bible at one time, but take a scripture, write it down, pray over it, and then look at the words and your Aunt Rita or your teacher or whoever could help you get a better understanding, and then ask yourself, what does this scripture, what is it saying to me? What would God want me to change? And you'd be amazed when you start. Someone said it like this: if you just read the Bible, it's like chewing your food but never swallowing. You need to not only read it but to digest it. You know, get into it, allow His Word to abide in you, and you and Him. And the children are doing it. The young people are doing it, and it's made a big difference in their attitude and in their strength, because in the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's what you can come against the enemy with, is God's Word. And he will flee, he will run, when we know the Word of God and hide it in our heart. I'm glad you're a part of a youth group. That's excellent.
Thank you. God might be calling me also, I'm not sure. He might be calling me to help them and strengthen them.
Well, no doubt he is. Because there is actually the ministry of helps. There's the fivefold ministry for apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But there's the ministry of helps. And when you become a servant to the Lord, then the better you serve, then the better you can lead. There's a lot of people that, I'm not saying this about you, but they want to preach. But this gentleman, he is an excellent preacher, but we asked him to go to one of the camp meetings and help serve tables. He wasn't at all interested. He said that sounded like a servant to him. So, you know, needless to say, he's got a whole lot to learn. And if he's going to work for God or be a minister.
Yeah.
Darla?
Well, our time is winding up. Would you like to make any closing remarks?
Be praying for our church because God might have told me something about the church. It's an unspoken request, but be praying for a church because they need prayer.
That's good.
Well, we will do that.
Okay.
Blog Talk Mom?
Yes.
What?
We'll be praying for you this week. And for Preston and his family in their move, and we'll be thinking about you both.
Thank you. We pray for you guys every day. Well,
Preston, one suggestion that has been very effective for me, and I teach it when I teach the young people in your journal. If you will start one, take the alphabet A through Z, and for every letter, think of something that applies to God. In A, you could have awesome, almighty, he's all that. B, he's bountiful, he's beautiful. C, he's my comforter, my counselor, and all these different things that he is. But the first one is that the Lord is our advocate. And an advocate is someone Well, you know how an attorney is, but an advocate is someone that stands in place for you, that takes up for you, and works for you, and intercedes for you. And God wants to be that for us. And that really blessed me this week when I realized that I don't have to listen to negative things or negative statements. Wild Bill is on the other phone talking.
Yeah, I hear him.
That's funny because he doesn't know, I guess, that the other transpired. But he sounds happy, so they must have had a good service where he was. Which
yeah.
is good. How much time do we have, Sister Starla?
Well, we're running a little bit over, but it hasn't cut us off yet, so.
Well, that's why I guess he had called. But I've enjoyed this, and I think the Lord helped us pretty good. We've got to talk to Preston. That made it worthwhile.
Yeah, really. That is so awesome. He is such a great kid.
He is. He's just an inspiration. He's exciting, and we're going to pray that request, that unspoken, that God is beginning to let him see things, and so that he can see. God lets us see things, not to criticize and not to get discouraged, but so that we'll pray. And that's the greatest calling there is to be a prayer warrior. Talk to God about these things.
Thank you.
I love you. Tell your aunt that we love her. And you want me to close in prayer?
That would be wonderful. Yes.
Okay, you join in with me, and we will close tonight. Lord, we do praise and thank you that we do believe that all things work together for good. And Lord, even though the program wasn't as we had designed it to be, we know there may be someone that needed to hear exactly what was said. And we know, God, that you turn the water to wine. So whatever we have done, we ask for that anointing that destroys the yoke of Satan to flow. Lord, we ask that you touch Preston and his family and his church and our church. Lord, our young people, strengthen and encourage these young people. Anything that would happen to be revealed to Preston, we ask, God, that you let him be so aware of your presence with him in every situation, that victory will come as the giants fall, as they did for David. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for Sister Starla. Thank you for everyone that would listen now or at any time to this program. And we give you all praise, honor, and glory because you are so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.